In our verse-by-verse study through Galatians, Galatians chapter 4, we'll start at verse 15. Where is then that blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I ask for the filling and power of your Spirit, dear God, to preach and teach your word tonight. Help me, Heavenly Father, just to relay the message that you have for the church tonight. Pray for my dear wife. Fill her with your Spirit, teaching Lois, and help her teaching the lesson on self-control and temperance there from the Word of God. Bless her in that, dear God. And be with Lindsay in the nursery. Fill her with your Spirit, watching the children, Father. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for each one here tonight. And I pray that from you we'd receive a blessing, Father, and that we may bless you. That is, that we may speak well of you and glorify your name, and that our lives might reflect what a wonderful Savior you are, God, to those around us. Draw us each closer to you in the way, dear God, that we need it most, Father. And I pray we just be changed and continually changed into your image as we look into your word. And so, Father, we do pray. We do ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Looks like I spilled some water. Somebody got some napkins or something? I spilled some water here. I just don't want it to run down all through the pulpit there. Yeah. Must have left that there. Yes, thank you. Apparently, it wasn't empty either. There we go. Thank you, brother. All right. Paul's concern for the Galatians. We're seeing that. And we saw that there back in verse 8. We see they had been released from their paganism. Verse 8, howbeit then, when you knew God, you did service unto them which, when you knew not God, rather, you did service unto them which by nature are no God. So he knew these deities, they were not truly God. They should, as a matter of fact, nature should have told them they weren't truly God. Remember, we studied that out. A God that you have to make or save it certainly is not God. Okay? We see that they had, unfortunately, after having received the gospel of Christ, they were willfully returning themselves to bondage. And Paul reminds them of their current condition. They were born again. He says, remember he said, in whom after that ye... You've known God. Let me see. He says in Galatians 4, he says 4:9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So Paul's acknowledging they're saved after they've come to know God and God as their Father, and God has come to know them as his children, and both happening at the same time. And so he acknowledges that they're saved, but they're returning to this bondage, and they were freed from that bondage. Those false doctrines through faith in Jesus Christ are returning to this false bondage, to this bondage of Judaism. Paul saw all religions in two categories. There's salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Then there's everything else. And there's only one way that gets you to heaven, amen? Barred is the gate. And wide is the gate, and barred is the way leading to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And Jesus said, I am the way. By the way, it's faith in Jesus Christ alone is the way. But they'd forsaken that. Now they're listening to these Judaizers saying, some no doubt saying you must be, in a sense, become a Jew and start doing the Jewish things, coming to the feasts and to be saved. And some maybe are saying, well, you need to, maybe not to be saved, but to be righteous and pleasing in God's eyes, you need to become a Jew in a sense. And neither one of those for these certainly was true. They had retained a relationship with God, or attained a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that neither their false gods nor Judaism could bring them. They were given life in Christ the moment they trusted Him as Savior by faith. They were born again. God's grace had given them that life in Christ. And Paul reminded them he had conferred with the apostles about his message, this message of salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. Remember what Peter said? Why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the disciples, which neither we would be ourselves, was neither they. He says we weren't able to bear it. Why would you do that? We know that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, that's Jews, even as they. If the Jews aren't going to be saved by Judaism, certainly the Gentiles are not going to be, okay? And that was the consensus of the church at Jerusalem when Paul went up there. Their message is the same. He conferred that and showed that to them. I must have missed C there. What am I doing here? Oh, here we go. I think I was getting ahead of myself there. All right. So, Paul's compassion for the Galatians. He acknowledges, or he shows his love for them. We saw there in verse 12, brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Remember, we talked, the Apostle Paul is not personally offended by what they have rejected the message. But Paul says, the message is of God. See, they might be thinking, oh, Paul's going to be mad at us now. He's just going to have nothing to do with us. Paul says, I'm not personally injured by it. I told you the truth. The one you're turning from is not me. You're turning from God. God gave me the message. I'm just relaying you the message. I'm the messenger. And so Paul, he wants them to know, I'm not personally offended by this. I still love you. And he even remembers, he points them back to when he first came there. You remember when I came? Verse 13, how through infirmity of flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And he says, and you invited, he says, I had an infirmity in my flesh. Verse 14, it was in my flesh. He says, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. I'm remembering that you received me just as if I was Christ. In Galatians 4:14, Paul told them that. And so he begs them as brothers, reminds them that he was in the same situation as they were. What was that? They were under bondage to false gods, trying to please, trying to find God. And Paul was under Judaism, the false teaching of Judaism that would get you saved, trying in a sense to find and please God. So they were under similar bondage. It was just a different kind. He says, you know, I want you to be as I am. I am as ye are. And I want you to be as I am. How is he? He's freed now. He's not trying to please God through living out Judaism. And he wants them to do the same thing. But they're going to leave their false gods and then find salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, how do you grow? The same way. As ye have received Christ Jesus, Lord, what? So walk ye in him. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You go the same way. So now they're going to turn from their false gods,
get saved with the glorious gospel of salvation by grace through faith, and then go back to some set of rules to be spiritual or to keep their salvation. That's foolish. It's wrong.
And he is very concerned about them because he loves them dearly. They both had been freed by the grace of Christ Jesus from their individual cells, so to speak, the bondage they were under. But he remembers their love to him when they received him with that illness, whatever it was, and there are different views of that. I personally believe it was his eyes, but an eye problem. But there's all kinds of views on that. But they received him as an angel of God. But now, what a contrast to their reception of him! What a contrast to the reception of him! Now they're turning from the message. And look what he says in verse 15. Wherein is that blessedness you spake of? What happened? We're in B now. I had got ahead of myself there. We're in B now. Where is that blessedness you spake of? I bear your record. If it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I there for you? And become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Are you looking at me as an enemy now? Why did they love him at first? Because he came, what? To tell them the truth. And they realized that he everywhere he went, they were willing to give up their own lives to get them the gospel. They realized that. They realized the love wherewith he came. And now he's saying, and now I'm your enemy? I came telling you the truth. I'm still telling you the truth. So what is this turn of events here? Why would you think of me that way? Am I becoming your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. See, he told them the truth about the gospel, and now he's telling them the truth about the Judaizers, and that they're not preaching the gospel. They're luring him away for their own selfish reasons. They're luring the Galatians away for their own selfish reasons. He continued telling the truth to them when he revealed their motives. And all those things. He says, we'll talk about this verse 17 there. They zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you that you might affect them. We'll look at that. But he's wanting to help them. First question 14 in your book says, how does the prevalent worldly attitude of mind your own business affect the willingness of believers to lead fallen believers back to freedom? Anybody want to share what you have for that? The worldly attitude of mind your own business. How does that affect the willingness of believers to lead fallen believers back to freedom? Sister Lynn?
Well, in my case, it kind of makes me feel helpless to help anybody because they just shut me down. They don't want to listen. No matter how much love you portray, they sometimes just shut down.
Right.
You can't force yourself on anybody.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah. Well, Charles, you had something?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's really hard. Sometimes you want to give up on them and just pray for them, that's it. That's
right.
Pray for them far and show the love of Jesus and everything you do around them when they're around. That's about it. Give you up.
Right.
You know, hope for the rest of God will handle the rest.
Yeah. Anybody else? I remember painting, I was painting one time and I forget all the circumstances around the situation, but I began to. I had a relationship with a person I was painting for at the time there, as I got to know a little bit while I'm painting the house and stuff, and I had the opportunity to ask them about their faith, and their answer was, well, religion's a private matter, yeah, and don't want to discuss that. And so sometimes, you know, and that's kind of the world's answer, you know. Well, let everybody have their religion, and don't you try to win anybody over to your side. Wait a minute, what's that say right there? So sometimes the world view can what? It can be intimidating. Someone sees that we're trying to evangelize them, and we are, amen. We are trying to persuade them, amen. Somebody sees that and they say, "What are you doing? Well, who do you think you are thinking what you believe is better than what they believe? We're going to talk about that some more here. But hey, the truth. The truth is what people need. And God told us to share it. And so we have to love, like Sister Lynn said, you can't force yourself on anybody. That's not going to help. Some people, they don't want to listen. You're done. You can't tell them. All that's left is deeds of kindness, prayers, you know, and God may open up another chance. But we just need to keep sharing and keep caring, amen, as we can, and showing. And maybe God will give an opportunity if someone has turned that away. Is there an instance when you showed love for a fallen believer? What became of the fallen believer? Do you regret investing in his or her life? Anybody want to share anything regarding that? Brother Dennis?
Well, should never regret investing time with them.
Yeah.
It is eternal rewards.
Yes.
As long as we're not saying, well, if I help them, that'll make it better for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, oftentimes on a human level, we feel disappointed.
Yeah.
If they aren't changed.
Yeah.
But I guess the best thing we can think of is that if we've done what we're supposed to do, sharing with them, then we know we've done what God wants us to do.
Yes. Yeah. Paul described himself as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, and that's what it is when you see someone you lovingly, prayerfully, kindly, gently give them advice that they need and that will be best for them, and then they don't take it. And we were talking, I was talking with somebody a little while ago, and I told you so is never fun. It's never there. It's never. I told you so, Spirit. What happens when they don't listen and they do suffer? Your heart breaks again. Your heart breaks again, and you just pray for them, and you just keep going. Sister Lynn, you have something to say?
I was just going to say, I was in the prison ministry with a partner for 11 years, and we did a lot. Now, every Friday night for years, we didn't see a big return on that. But I never ever had regrets.
Right.
Because the word went out.
That's right.
And God can use it later. You know, maybe they weren't at that point.
Right.
No regrets.
Right. My word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I sent it. And we can claim that all the time. Charles.
I was going to say our kids, my little boys, they've all grown up raised in the church.
Yeah.
Same thing. And they know the word.
Yeah.
They know what they believe. Saved.
Yes.
That's kind of even on some level.
Yes. Yeah.
God, now they don't want to hear it at all.
I know. I pray for you often. I know we all do. We pray for your kids,
I guess, part of
grandkids.
Yeah. Was saved.
Yes.
It's a little harder for that sometimes. That makes it so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the way we feel, imagine how Christ feels.
Yes.
They're His children.
Yes, they're His. And it's just like Paul. Paul was saying, "You're not really turning from me. You're turning from Christ." Paul said, I'm not taking it personally. I relayed you what Jesus Christ told me to tell you. It's Him you're turning away from. But then it breaks your heart if it's a loved one or anyone, because we know what happened when you're turning away from Christ. You're turning from the one who's all good. You know, all good is in Him, and everything lasting is in Him, you know, and they're going the other direction from that. So nothing good can come of that. All right, but we don't regret investing in people's lives, even when it's not maybe not be received well. I've never have, and probably testify the same thing. All right, verse 17: they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. I had something written down there. I don't see it. Zealously affect. What's he talking about there? It's talking about them. In a sense, they were pouring on the charm, but not with pure motives. Has an idea of warming up towards someone, and it's towards them. So they zealously affect you would be the Judaizers are behaving in a way that is drawing the love of the Galatians. And we read earlier in the chapters how that Paul said, ye observe days and times and months and years and such. We see that as the Apostle Paul is getting this information from them, and as he's writing about it, perhaps these Judaizers, first of all, what are they doing? They're laying out the feasts. Oh, you need to get involved. Oh, what do we do? Oh, the feast. Oh, we got the Feast of Tabernacles. We all gather together and we feast and we build these, you know. Of course, they never did celebrate that in themselves, but maybe. But the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Pentecost, and we get together to have a good time. Oh, sure. Who wouldn't want to do that? You know. Oh, okay. I'm in for that. You know. Observing these things, so this is kind of drawing them in, and this is really what you need to be spiritual. Or this is really what you need to maintain your salvation. It's Jesus and this, whatever it might be, whichever way they went with that. But Paul obviously doesn't think they're going to stop there. Later on in the next chapter or so, Brother Brian, I don't know who will be teaching him or I, but he says, I tell you, if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So he doesn't think they're going to stop there. They're going to take them right into the whole shebang of Judaism. They're starting out they're throwing out the candy, you know. They're putting crumbs in the trail, but there's a trap ahead. Pretty soon it's going to be, you know, you need to be an all-out Jew. Just to be saved or to be spiritual. And that's where they're leading them. And legalism often comes wrapped in a cloak of love. Cults will often practice what some have called love bombing upon new members until they can get them into their group. They overwhelm a prospective member with attention, support, and affection. Sadly, it's not sincere love. Paul reveals their fleshly motives. They weren't doing it for the edification of the individual believers themselves. They were using the Galatians to exalt their own egos. They used them so they could be recognized and praised for their work in the growth of their own cult. And is what they were doing. They're stirring you to zeal, but they have their own exaltation in mind. They'll convince you that they're somehow better because Judaism is the pathway to spirituality. After all, weren't the Jews God's chosen people before the Gentiles? So certainly, to be a Christian and a Jew, certainly that lifts you up somehow. Since they're Jews, they've been practicing it for years, they'll soon expect to become exalted in the eyes of the Galatians. Well, if Judaism really is a step up, it's a keeping of salvation, or makes a better Christian, then these guys must really be have it. Because they're Jews, you know, they're Jews before, you know, before Christ came. And so they're setting them up. They're setting them up to zealously affect them. They're setting the Galatians up to look to them. They're throwing out, they're wooing them. They're throwing out all this love so that one day, so that when they get them in the trap, they're going to say, wow, you guys are wonderful. I mean, you guys are just it. That's what they're luring them into. See, Paul says, now you say, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, don't we as believers, you know, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if ye have love one to another. Isn't that what Jesus said? So what's wrong with love bombing people? We ought to be love bombing people all the time, I guess, from what the scripture says, amen. We ought to be just pouring out the love all the time. What's the matter with that? Well, Paul says it's good for you to be zealously affected, what? In a good thing. In a good thing. Paul has been very clear what they're offering, what? It's not a good thing. What they're offering with their love is not a good thing. What did he call it in Galatians chapter 1? He said it was a what? A perversion of the gospel, Galatians chapter 1. I marvel you're so soon turned, so soon removed, verse 6. From the grace of Christ to another gospel, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some
that trouble you and would, what's the word say? Pervert the gospel of Christ. What they are wooing them to and loving them to, what? Is a perversion of the gospel. You see. That's why it's not good. That's why that love is not good. They're not being zealously affected in a good thing. It's not a good thing they're offering this message. You see, truth is the foundation of love. Unless we're founded on truth, we really can't love. Relationships are built on truth. Truth is the foundation. Peace, if possible, purity, truth at all cost. Amen. And but Paul says in verse 18, he says, "See, he says they would. He says they would zealously affect you, but not well, not good. They would exclude you that you might affect them. See, they're, if they get their way, they're going to show you that somehow you're out, Gentile, unless you get into Judaism. And when you've come around to the, to their teaching and realize it, they're going to say what? Well, look who we brought in. and then they're going to be looking up to them. That's where they're headed. That's where they're going with it. And Paul realized that. But Paul says in verse 18, it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. It's a good thing to be zealous. It's a good thing to get excited about spiritual things. It's a good thing to get on fire about spiritual things. We talked about that in the message this past Sunday, I think. Zeal meaning hot, intense, on fire. He says, I don't want to quench that. I'm glad you can get on fire about something. I'm glad you can be zealously affected, but what? But you got to be careful of what you're zealously affected in. You got to be careful about that. This is not a good thing. It's good in a good thing. I'm glad when you're zealous when I'm there, and I hope you're zealously affected when I'm not there. But the main truth, the main important is not who it's coming from, but is it a good thing? What's the message? What are you being zealously affected about? What are you being drawn to? Is it truth or is it personalities? That was a problem they had in Corinth. Brother Dennis teaching on that. They're picking their personalities. And Paul was zealously affected before he got saved. He says in Galatians 1:14, he profited the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. He was zealously affected, but not in a good thing. See, he'd been there. He'd been there. What did his zeal bring him? Acts 26:11, talking about believers, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Now, Paul didn't think he was compelling them to blaspheme then. He was a Jew, worshiping the true God. This Jesus came and said he was Messiah. They said, no, he's not. He's a blasphemer. He was wrong. He was being zealous for a lie, and that's not good. He was zealously affected for a lie. And that's what Paul's warning them about. No, you've got to look at the truth. Got to look at the truth. Paul's concern was that the Galatians, with the same zeal, would turn and recommit themselves to the gospel of Christ, to the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. It's good to be stirred, but only in a good thing. It's good to be stirred, but only in a good thing. If we get stirred in a bad thing, that's not good. If we get zealous in a wrong thing, that's not good. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. How many times does those two words show? In my own personal readings up through the Bible this year, especially in the New Testament, faith and love is the Christian life. You, as you read your New Testament through, especially the writings of Paul and on through, and sometimes it's charity, sometimes it's love, or sometimes it's charity and faith, sometimes it's love and faith. But you look at how many times love and faith shows up. Love and faith shows up in living the Christian life. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? Faith, which worketh by love. That's the whole mechanism of the Christian life. It's the whole motor. It's the whole gear. It's the drivetrain of the Christian life. Faith is working by love, which is founded on what? Truth. Founded on truth. Paul writes, hold fast, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. That good thing, see, Paul did commit a good thing. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You see, Paul had committed unto them a good thing. It was the gospel. And they were becoming zealous for something that was not a good thing. And that's not good. That kind of love is not love. That's deceived. Oh, the people doing it may think it's love, but they're ignorant. It's not love. When you lead someone into a lie, that's not love. That's not love. And it doesn't matter what the lie is. And Paul knows the truth. And thank God he was bold enough to speak out about it and write about it. Amen? See, today, people would condemn him. What are you doing? Look at all the love they're showing. You think you're better than him? Well, yes. Not me, but the message I have. Remember what Paul said about the message? And by the way, he's not even pointing. Though we are an angel from heaven preaching to God, if I come back and give you something else, don't listen to me. What I gave you the first time was the gospel and the truth. And it'll never change. And he says, even if I come back with something different, don't listen to me. Don't let me zealously affect you then if I come back with something else. But what we fall in love with is what Christ did and what this gospel of Christ is. He marveled they were so soon removed from the grace of Christ on another gospel, Galatians 1:6. But it's not another. It's a perversion of the gospel, end of verse 7 in Galatians chapter 1. And just kind of a practical application, thinking about that, truth being founded on love, or love being founded on truth. You see, these Judaizers were saying, we have the truth. Paul gave you part of it. Oh, you have? Yeah, Jesus, and of course, these are Judaizers. They're acknowledging that Jesus is Messiah. They're acknowledging that. But by grace through faith, well, that works. Judaism is around for something. Their message is false, you see. And that's what they're doing. And what are they saying? We're right. Paul's wrong. And so they're separating themselves out as elite. And that's kind of what they're saying. And so you're separate from us because you're not Gentiles. If you really want to, you know, be a super in the super spiritual group, you'll be saved and follow Judaism. And that, of course, was a lie. Saying we have the truth. What is the message the world is trying to get us to preach today? The only message that they will hear. We think of the ecumenical movement. What groups do they condemn? Well, you know, think about this. A little different, but yet kind of the same. What they say is the message of love is the message that says you have truth, and you have truth, and you have truth, and you have truth. Oh, that's different. That's for you. Oh, that's your truth for you. And what do? They destroy truth. If everything's true, there is no truth. And what they're and what they would say is, if someone comes along and says, now wait a minute, they say, where's your love? What do you create that discord for? What do you mean Christianity is the only way? That's not loving. Look at how all these other groups are putting up with each other, and look how they are. You know why? Because the devil is the god of this world. He'll put up with anything but Christ, you see. But true love is only found in Jesus Christ. You won't find it anywhere else. It's not love if it's not coming from and through Christ. It's not truly love. They may think it is, but they're deceived. People that are deceived don't know they're deceived. They really think they're loving, and they really think you're not, and I'm not, when we say that. That's why we have to get our strength from Christ, amen? And we have to. I understand Brother Larry has to catch the bus, so I appreciate him.
applying it to today. What do we have to do? We have to still boldly and lovingly. That simple gospel, how we've shown you the plan of salvation, that faith in Jesus Christ. And you don't walk up with somebody, Jesus is the only way. You believe something else, you're going to hell. You're probably not going to win too many people. No. Do you know for sure you're going? Let me show you from the Bible how you can know. And as you're going, you're showing them, without saying Jesus Christ is the only way, you're showing them Jesus Christ is the only way. That's what the Bible says. He's the one you're leading them to call upon. It's what he did on the cross, you're leading them to trust in. So you're leading them to the only way, whether they realize it or not. And if they want to be argumentative, there's a time to point that out, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's a time for that in the right spirit. But for now, we need, like the Apostle Paul, to keep that good thing, amen, and to keep founded on the Word, and to recognize no matter how the world views it, we are trying to truly love the world. Why? Because our love is based upon the truth, the Bible. And no relationship is a loving relationship that is not based on truth. And that's what the world, that's what Jesus came to give. He came full of what? Grace and truth. Amen. That's what he came to give. That's what he offers all. And he will give to all who receive it. They'll know the loving Lord Jesus just like you and I do. If they'll but receive him. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the boldness of the Apostle Paul, who at threat of his own life preached and wrote these words so many times, and truly showed that he was willing to give his life to get this message out. And then folks would turn around and try to change it after he left and try to lead people away with a fake love, a false love. Perhaps, no doubt, they were deceived in it themselves. They no doubt thought they were doing right, dear God. But we have to build our lives upon the truth of your word. It is the foundation and the only thing that love can be built upon. And I pray you'd help us to remember that. Help us to be faithful to the book, dear God. Faithful to your Son, and listening to your Spirit, and not ashamed, dear Lord, when you return. And help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.